Some people ask the question, what is my purpose? What is my purpose in life? We're going to tell you what your purpose is today. It's from the scriptures, and you'll find it in what we're talking about today. And we're in Revelation, and we're in about the fifth and the sixth seal. So what's happened right now is what is traditionally known as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Four seals have been opened, and the great tribulation has begun. This is the end of all things, where Jesus is coming, and he's going to return and consummate all things to bring all things into fulfillment and to redemption. But first, this evil world has to be destroyed, judged, and dealt with. And that's what Jesus is doing. These first four seals, one-fourth of the entire earth has already died. And now we're into the fifth and the sixth seal. And this one will be up on your screen, and we'll talk about it here in a second. So it's right up here, Revelation 6, and we're going to go 9 through 17. Today, there are people that, unlike us, we got up this morning, we're like, do I feel like going to church? I didn't. I mean, it's like, I thought I probably should show up. But, do I feel like going to church? Do I really want to do that? Do I really want to go to a group? Or do I want to go to prayer group? And we make these decisions based on how we're feeling and based on, frankly, our comforts. There are people today that woke up this morning and determined whether or not they were going to gather with other followers of Christ. And their question was, do I want to do that today? Because if I do, I will risk my life in doing so. And what we're talking about here is the great tribulation has begun. Darkness has begun to become more so over all the earth. People are not following Christ. The world is going into a greater tailspin, and Jesus is coming to take care of business. So let's look here at Revelation the 6th. Let's start with the 9th verse. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred, killed for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. Can I just say this? People are like, well, if it comes down to it, and my life is at stake, and they put a gun to my head and tell me, if you're a follower of Jesus, I'm going to pull the trigger. If not, if you're like, absolutely, I'll stand up and do that. But you can't come to church on Sunday. I doubt that's going to be where you roll. I'm just saying. We have it so comfortable here and so easy here. But I don't know if you've noticed, in our world, in our culture, the pressure is starting to be more and more and more. And what's going to happen when people experience pressure? They do one of two things, and we're seeing it through statistics of the number of people who are going to church, who call themselves Christians. The number one group, the number one religious group in America right now, expanding, especially among millennials, are called the nuns. And we're not talking about the ones that wear the habit. We're talking about the N-O-N-E-S, I'm nothing. That is the ones, the nuns. They are expanding, because what has happened is cultural pressure has made it less cool, less culturally acceptable. I mean, back in the 50s and 60s, you know, Andy and Barney and everybody went to church. It was a socially acceptable thing. Now, not so much. And when the pressure comes, you'll do one of two things. You'll draw away because it's not cool, or it causes you a difficulty, or you'll draw closer. And that's the question. Which one will you be? When the pressure comes, will you draw closer to Jesus, or will you pull away? All right. For being faithful in their testimony. They shouted the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, God who runs the joint, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus, who were to be martyred, had joined them. Get this. God says, hold on, y'all guys. Just chill out and rest. We got more people to be killed. I mean, it's kind of a weird response if you think about it. But he's like, no, there are more. I have more that are going to demonstrate my glory by their death. I watched as the Lamb broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became as red as blood. And some people like get all into this with blood red moons and blah, blah, blah. All this means is there was, if you've seen the volcano in Hawaii right now, there's ash everywhere. If you remember Mount St. Helens, if you're that old, covers off things, and it makes the moon look red, and it makes the sun look red. It makes what he's saying. There's so much catastrophe on earth with volcanoes and earthquake and ash and everything everywhere that it covers our view of the sun. It's not like the sun changes molecular structure or something weird. All right. Then the stars of the sky fell to the earth, meteors like green figs falling from a tree shaken by a strong wind. You ever do that? Shake a tree and then the pecans fall off? Of course, if you do that in Texas, the cedar pollen falls off. It's just yellow everywhere, you know, right? So that's what he's talking about. So the sky was rolled up like a scroll, so the clouds are doing funky things, and all of the mountains and islands were moved from their places. The tectonic plates of the earth are decaying, are responding. Then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, and every slave and every free person, all hid themselves, everybody, in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they cried to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come." Who's able to survive this? Well, back when we look in the scriptures, we see Adam and Eve, and they fall, and you heard the gospel in the video here. And God called out a man named Abraham, and out of him he built a group of people, a nation called Israel. And Israel was to be a light to the other nations and share God's teaching, share God's word, share God's salvation and the coming Messiah to people. And what ended up happening, they understood themselves to be the chosen people. And their understanding of it developed into not we're chosen to be a light to the nations and draw other people to God, but instead we're chosen and nobody else is. And they kept it to themselves. And the Israelites developed into this. And Jesus came into that world and into that Jewish culture, and he shocked them. And amazingly, people who were Gentiles, that's most of you and me, probably all of us, became followers of Jesus after his death and his resurrection and his ascension. And the Jewish people were all freaked out about that. This was the issue of the early church. Can Gentiles, can you and I be saved? Can you and I know God? Can you imagine? That was the world they lived in. That was the culture they lived in. And then they found out these Gentiles were speaking in tongues, just like they did on the day of Pentecost when the Jewish early disciples spoke in tongues and people heard the message of Jesus. They started to do this. And like, well, you know, if the Spirit of God is helping them speak in tongues, the Spirit of God is in them, you can't argue with the Holy Spirit of God. So I guess Gentiles can be saved. And they resolved that issue. And we're glad they did, because if they hadn't, we might not be in this room right now. And when Jesus left us, when he left to go sit at the right hand of the Father, not to leave us behind, but to reign, and to reign through us, and to reign in us. When he did that, he left us a commission. We did it through the baptism. We demonstrated the symbolism of that. It says, go in the world, share this good news with everybody. Teach them to observe what I have taught you. I'm with you always, even in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Listen, you're here. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're here, and you did not get taken up to heaven immediately. God left you on earth, and he wants you to know him, and he wants you to experience him, and he wants you to have eternal life now. But your purpose is not your job. Your purpose is not to acquire things. Your purpose is not even just to get through. Listen, your purpose is to tell and bring other people to Jesus. Period. That's it. It doesn't matter what you do. The Bible says you're an ambassador in a foreign place. Your residence is in heaven. Your purpose here on earth, our purpose as a church is very simple. To bring as many people to heaven with us before we die or bust. That's it. That's our purpose. Now the people of Israel kind of messed up and forgot about that. And now we, mostly Gentiles, there are some Jews who are followers of Christ, too, ethnically Jews that are followers of Christ. There's going to be a time in this great tribulation where people from that chosen group, the Jewish people, are picked out to go and share the message with people again. And we're going to actually read it. There's a lot of reading, but the sermon's not long. Then I saw four angels. This one's in your program. It's not on the screen. I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. The earth is not flat. It's a figure of speech, people. Holding back the four winds, so they did not blow on the earth or the sea or even on any tree. So God's wrath and all this judgment and all this catastrophe is held off for a little bit. I saw another angel coming up from the east, carrying the seal of the living God. The seal of the living God, like they had seals that would sign, you would put letters to, and only those authorized to open the seals, like Jesus, could do that. This is the seal of the God of the universe. Big deal. And he shouted to these four angels who had been given power to harm land and sea. Imagine God shouting. When God spoke, read it in your Bible. Anytime God spoke, Mufasa had nothing on him. It was like, they're terrified. God did not speak. He shouted, "Wait! Don't harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have placed the seal of God on the forehead of his servants." And I heard how many were marked with the seal of God. 144,000 were sealed from all the tribes of Israel. And there are 12 of them, and there were 12,000 from each of them. And you can read that yourself. All right, and they were all there. There are groups of people who say, we're the 144,000. Well, that was 150,000 ago. They don't math well. They're wrong. Furthermore, these are Jewish people. They're not Gentiles like you and me. So, not in the Bible. Love them, not in the Bible. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count. Actually, I'm going to get there in a minute. Our purpose, very simple. To tell people about Jesus, to tell the world about Jesus. If we're going to do that real quickly, we need to live a life. Live a life that draws people to Christ. We're going to do this just for a second. We're going to turn out the lights. It's dark. We're going to turn out the thing. And I want you to pull out your phone. Look around. We've still got sconce lights here. Pull out your phone. We encourage you to pull out your phone. Kind of lift it up. A little bit brighter. A little bit brighter. A little bit lighter. A little bit more. Hey, y'all have a flashlight feature? No. Hey, I joined the iPhone cult, so my flashlight, swipe up. Swipe up. Oh, look at the iPhone people. My Galaxy does the same thing, guys. It's just one extra step. It's not that big a thing. Look at the light around the room, though. Take it off, and you'll see how much darker it is immediately. Your life, guys and gals, is to draw people to Christ. And when your light shines in the darkness, people see it. And when the light shines, you can see. Amen. Now, when your light is shining in darkness all by itself, it sticks out, doesn't it? And you're going to feel the pressure of that. But the more light we have, the more people can see God. The more darkness, the more people are confused and doubt. And even more important for you and for me to shine our light, live a life that draws people to Christ. Your purpose is not your job. Your purpose is to draw people to Jesus. Now, You do that by how you live. You start taking your Bible and just leaving. People start talking. Ed does this. Ed works. He's in charge of hundreds of people. And people come to him and they ask him advice about their lives because they know he follows Jesus. They think he has more wisdom than they do. They're right because he follows Jesus. People will start doing that to you. You tell people about Jesus. You don't just live your life and say, oh, well, they'll ask me if they want to know. You tell people. You offer to pray for people. You know I'm a Christian. You know I'm a follower of Jesus. I'd like to pray for you and pray for people. It's amazing. You start praying for people and then the prayers are a good answer and they'll start asking you to pray more because you got a direct line to God, you know, that they don't have. And you invite them and you tell them about Jesus. And one thing we do here, and this is important, about why we do what we do, how we do what we do, everything, we want people to be able to come. One of the things Jesus did was he told guys, they said, who is this Jesus? And Jesus would say what? He'd say, come and see. Come and look. Come in here. So we invite people to do this. And here's my promise to you. If you will keep inviting people to this church, Church by the Fort, and this worship environment, we're more than just this worship environment, but if you'll do that, I promise you this, we will love them and we will keep sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel will keep being shared. I can promise you that. If you know nothing else, invite them to church. Pray for them and they will hear the message of Christ. So, well, you know, I can't really share with people. Nope, you're equipped. You're equipped. In fact, the Bible says God has used the foolishness of this world to confound the wise. That is what he does. He uses dummies like you and me to share the gospel. Well, I don't know all the answers. You don't need to know them. There was a gal, there was a group of people, they went out, and if you've never done this, you should do this. I've done it. It's a crazy deal. But they would go out to the beach. This was California. And they would go out to the beach, and they would just share the gospel with just rank strangers. It's a crazy thing. That's what they did. But she was a new believer, and so she went up to this guy real boldly, and she's like, I want to tell you about Jesus. He says, Jesus, you know, he's a fake, and he went all through everything. So what do you know about him? And he says, all I know is John 3:16. God loved the world so much, he gave his one and only son that whoever puts their faith in him will not die eternally, will not perish, but will have life that lasts forever. And he just totally insulted her and her, and she just ran away and he's chasing her and, you know, deriding her the whole way. She goes back and they have like the little debrief and she's crying and he was so mean and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, just try it one more. She goes out the next week. This is a true story. I'm not making it up. Goes out to this guy, same guy's out there. So she's like, you know, walking away, and he's chasing her. He's walking her. He says, she's like, I told you, all I know is John 3:16. That's all I know. I can't answer your questions. And he says, I know. Hold on. I know. And ever since you told me that, all I can think about is that. That's all I can think about. And it's keeping me up at night, and it's driving me crazy. And I want you to tell me how to know this Jesus you know. Because that's all you seem to know, and it's good enough. You're equipped. You might need to memorize John 3:16, but you're equipped. You're equipped. You have what you need. Sure, let's learn apologetics, and let's learn how to talk with people and answer their questions, and let's do all that. I'm all into it. But when it comes down to it, do you know Jesus? And if you do, you are equipped to tell somebody about your experience with him. That's why we wrote the book. If you want a book, grab the book. Take it with you. If you want to give it away to somebody, take some books with you. As many as you will give away, they are stories of people in our church that have had their lives completely transformed by Christ. You are equipped. And this is our time. In that day to come, there are going to be 144,000 Jewish people. It doesn't mean other people can't come to Christ or other Jews can't come to Christ. They are assigned, though, chosen to go and share. But this is our time. This is our moment in history. And our results are in Revelation. What we do now is this. What we do now determines this. Whether or not we do this now determines whether or not this, I'm about to read, happens. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes. They held palm branches in their hands. They were waving the flag, and they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings, and they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. They sang, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever. Amen." Then one of the 24 elders asked me, "Who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from?" And it seems like John was from Minnesota. He says, and I said to him, "Sir, you're the one who knows. Don't you know?" Then he said to me, y'all wondered where that joke was going, didn't you? "These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. What we do now determines who knows the gospel now and in the future. It's up to you and me. They've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That's why they stand in front of God's throne and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will give them shelter. And this is our future. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat or of the sun. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes." If you know that, if you know Jesus, and you know that your eternity is that, how can you keep it to yourself? Your purpose, one and only, our church's real purpose. We do lots of things, but our purpose, tell the world about Jesus. And if we're the only church left on the earth, our commission, tell people about Jesus. You're equipped, and you know when you can start? Today. All right, let's pray together, guys. If you don't know my Jesus, I'm going to invite you. You've heard the gospel, the video shared the gospel with you. You've heard our love for Jesus. We want you to be part of His family. We want you to live forever with us. And it is not a ceremony or a religious thing. Guys, it's you and Jesus. And you give your heart and you receive His gift. There's nothing you can do to earn it. He has already done it for you, and I invite you to receive Him right now. Pray a simple prayer. God, I need you. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again from the dead. I believe you're in heaven now and you want me to come and be with you there. So I receive your gift of salvation. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Send your Holy Spirit to live inside of me. As best I know, I surrender to you right now. And I ask you to give me a home in heaven. And I want to follow you with the rest of my life. And thank you for giving me a home in heaven and putting that promise in my heart right now. In Jesus' name. And believer, I'm going to pray for you. Dear Father, we pray that as a church, that our one focus, our one purpose, our main thing will simply be to bring as many people to heaven with you and with us before we die. Keep it on our minds. Keep it on our hearts. Burn it in our souls to share And as we go, may fear be gone, and may the enemy be defeated, and may we see people come to know you as Lord and Savior and change their lives. Lord, change their eternities. That is our purpose, and we go from here to do it. We don't go alone, Lord. Your Spirit is in us. You empower us to do your work, and we allow you to do it, and we offer ourselves to you for that purpose, for your purpose, our purpose, to bring people to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're on the